Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime. You may have been reading, and I imagine many people have, that things are difficult in Ukraine. And while the world's current focus is on the Israel-Hamas war, Ukraine's war with Russia has entered its third year. And the news from Ukraine is that the country's military is running seriously low on warfighting equipment and munitions. Sometimes they have the equipment, but the wrong ammunition for it in their war with Russia on the front lines. And the United States is holding up a major arms shipment due to political infighting. Who could have guessed that? With an election coming up. But it's interesting as well that the Secretary General of NATO, Jens Stoltenberg, suggested a couple of days ago that NATO put together a $100 billion euro fund would be a five-year weapons support plan for Ukraine and get this done prior to the U.S. national election in November. Will that happen? I don't know. NATO's also calling on all of its members to live up to their 2% of GDP military spending commitment. We already know that Canada has said, we'll not do that. We can't reach it. Ukrainian drones. Now, the Ukrainians are manufacturing drones in large numbers, and they are striking deep inside Russia. But it's tough to win a war just with drones. They'll be getting F-16s as well, but will that be soon enough? So, one other thing. French President Macron has not ruled out sending French ground troops into Ukraine to engage Russia there. So far, he's the only, as far as I know, European leader who said, we're not ruling out that we won't send the French army into Ukraine to stand beside Ukrainians. Which has gotten Putin all puffy and chattering on about nukes again. So for the last almost 3 years, we've been speaking with our guest, Ambassador Oleksandr Sherba from Kyiv. Ambassador Sherba was Ukraine's chief diplomatic representative to Austria and a member of the Ukraine diplomatic delegation to Washington. And it's late. In Ukraine, it's after 11 p.m. and the ambassador joins us. Oleksandr, thank you very much for taking the time. How are you personally? You okay?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me, Roy. Good to hear you.
Yeah, it's good to hear you as well. Can you give us a bit of a sense, please, an overview of what the situation is now for your military who continues to fight Putin, who's getting weapons from some of his friends in places like Iran and North Korea? While weapons systems from the United States are being held back. What's it like for in your country now fighting Russia?
It's extremely tough right now. You know, you can produce, as you pointed out, as many drones as you want, and they are making a big difference on the front line, but without artillery shells, without Patriot systems, without the new howitzers or, you know, repaired howitzers, it's very difficult to fight this war. Nevertheless, and we paid the price, unfortunately, after our biggest ally half a year ago decided to take some time off and just walked away from the front line, basically leaving us without these weapon supplies. Half a year ago, just think about it. And of course, we lost a strategically important town of Avdiivka, the town, I think, of 30,000 population. Russians paid with 70,000 dead taking this town, but they took it. And right now they're fighting for another small town, but of strategic importance. Chasiv Yar, it's once again, it's in Donbass. They are fighting in Donbass. They're destroying Donbass piece by piece and town by town. I hope that anti-Ukraine Republicans are enjoying this picture of Ukraine getting devastated and Ukrainians getting killed. And when I say enjoying, I'm only partly sarcastic, because when you hear how people like Tucker Carlson or Marjorie Taylor Greene describe Ukraine, it's basically the same. They are on the same page with Putin about, you know, killing Ukrainian freedom. And it's, for many in Ukraine, people like me, it's just gut-wrenching to hear this. And the spirit is, of course, not as high as, for instance, when we had America having our back. Nevertheless, this week there was this poll in Ukraine, and 88% of Ukrainians still believe in Ukrainian victory. So the spirit is strong.
Yeah. What about what's going on in Europe? You've got President Macron in France not ruling out, not saying they're going to do it, but he's not ruling out. And his prime minister said the same thing. We're not ruling out anything. And when he was asked about whether French troops might be on the ground, boots on the ground in Ukraine, he said, we're not ruling out anything. So is France taking the lead as far as supporting Ukraine in Europe is concerned? Last time we talked, I think it was Germany that was delivering arms. But you need more than one country. You really need to have the support. You need the support of the United States, and you need to have NATO support solidly with you. Otherwise, it's just a horribly daunting task, because Putin has as well, has he not? He's lowered the conscription age, and he's calling for another 150,000 young men to be sent to Ukraine.
Well, we are having our conscription age lowered too, and the draft is going on in Ukraine just without, you know, these big numbers being announced. But many Ukrainian young men join the army nonstop. It's just we don't make such big news about it. But about Macron, you are absolutely right. France seems now in the lead. And it's ironic, because Emmanuel Macron is doing the elementary thing that you must do amid a war. Just create a strategic ambiguity about what you're going to do. Don't tell the enemy, this is my red line, I won't do this. Just be silent about it. Don't rule anything about it. And the West was so, you know, trying to make clear that Putin is not getting provoked and this and that, that they were, you know, too straightforward in stating their plans. Finally, they are learning the lessons. They're at least not doing that. And by the way, it's not just Macron. It's also, Prime Minister of Norway made such a statement, I think, one of the Baltic countries, and the basically the position of the United Kingdom was all the time, we are not ruling anything out.
Mm-hmm. The head of the military in Norway has said, and all of Europe should pay attention to this, as should we, you know, at this side of the world, that we'd better be prepared for a shooting war with Russia within 3 years. This is the head of the Norwegian military, and what he said was largely echoed by the head of the Swedish military as well, and they want to be in NATO, and that's a big change. But when you have the heads of national militaries, and Norway has a long border with Russia, a warning that we're going to be in a shooting war with Russia within 3 years, so let's be ready, you better pay attention to that, and Ukraine is deflecting a lot of that Russian military capability by fighting on your own and fighting against the Russians. You're deflecting. You're keeping the Russians arguably out of other countries.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are having Europe's back. We are having America's back. We are having Canada's back. We are the bulwark right now of the free world. And the free world, all of a sudden, sometimes I ask myself, does the free world still exist? What kind of a free world is it if it doesn't want to fight for freedom? Like, for instance, these Freedom Caucus Republicans from the United States Congress. Just it's ironic that the party of Reagan is exactly the one that is basically siding with the enemy of freedom in this war.
Yeah, I just thought of you the other day, and I thought it's been a long time, far too long since we spoke with Alexander. I need to call you because I see the stories on a regular basis about how difficult the war is becoming for Ukraine. But you're not stopping. Your country continues to fight. Your young men are still on the front line, still fighting the Russians. You're sending drones deep into Russia, and you're blowing up their airfields. But that's not enough. You need the equipment. Well, you have, in many cases, you have the equipment. You just don't have the munitions, which is...
Well, yes. For instance, what's strategically important, very, very important, and this is what I address to Canada. Patriots, air defense systems, because right now Russians have started, for instance, destroying block by block multi-million cities, Kharkiv, Odessa. There was a time, this is what they have been doing in the beginning when they were, you know, euphoric about the outcome of this war, and they were getting ready to slaughter us all. Then America and other Canada and other NATO members joined in and helped us defending ourselves. And now Russians are euphoric again, and they started, you know, really slaughtering our cities. And we need patriots. We need, President Zelensky said in recent interview, a couple of dozen patriot systems in Ukraine. Would really close our sky and make absolute difference in this war. And the world has these systems. So this is our request for everybody out there. If you can help cover our sky.
Yeah. And people need to know this is a war. This is not a skirmish. This is Putin is determined to destroy Ukraine's freedom. And so we all went in. The West was all in for a couple of years, and the concern even then was, will they maintain that posture and that support? Alexander, how long? I hate to ask this, but how long can you fight with the equipment that you have?
Well, we'll fight till there are Ukrainians in Ukraine, you know. Just as I said, the mood in Ukraine is we don't give up. We don't give up. There is no politicians discuss surrender or, you know, any kind of, you know, feeding to Putin more of Ukraine's people and territory. The people on the street don't discuss this. It's not a topic in the press or in the social media. So this is how it looks. When, of course, after America, if America really decides to pull a plug on Ukraine, and if our other partners do the same, you know, we are fighting for two reasons. Because first, we saw that Russia is beatable. And second, we know that there are decent countries and people in the world who support us. And we will always know that Russia is beatable. But if the world decides to be, you know, indecent on Ukraine, just to turn its back and let us die, then maybe the spirit will be broken. But it hasn't happened yet. We haven't given up our faith in the world. And we hope that it doesn't come to that.
The conventional wisdom was, on the 22nd of February, 3 years ago, that Ukraine would hold out for maybe 3 days before the Russian army overwhelmed you. You didn't have much. You just had will. The weapons you had, the determination, and you stopped them and you pushed them back. And then you got the assistance that you required and you started doing really serious damage to Mr. Putin and his war machine. We should all thank you for that and continue to provide the support that Ukraine not only needs, but has clearly earned because you're holding them back. Thank you, Oleksandr. We're definitely going to stay in touch, and I will be talking again soon.
Thank you.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.